The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, where the host is essentially Ballas. That's me. This is Laser Time's chronological exploration of The Simpsons, and today's episode is all about Saturdays of Thunder. I'm your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here today?
I'm Henry, and quote the Raven, what a shot.
And?
Chris, find a way, Antista.
I love that. And again, today's episode is Saturdays of Thunder. It aired on November 14th, 1991. Chris, what happened on this mythical day in history? You threw me off with that quote, by the way. Find
still
a way.
Laughing too. Oh my god! David Duke failed in his bid to be Louisiana governor. Magic Johnson joins President Bush's Commission on AIDS, and Michael Jackson's album Dangerous debuts with black or white music video.
And boy, was he dangerous! Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
So boy, at least a couple kids.
That would sadly not be the last we'd hear of David Duke, by the way. Jeez. But
no, it really did set back the Klan party at least 2 years.
But yeah, Dangerous debuted. This was Michael Jackson's entry into the '90s. The album Dangerous, led off by Black or White, and it was also famous for being like a big hit before 91, but it was also used as the example of the changing in kids' taste, because the story was that at Christmas of this year, every parent bought Dangerous for their kids, and on New Year's Day, they all returned it to the record store and bought Nirvana's Nevermind, and that was the big change in the landscape of music. That was the start of the grunge age. But Black or White was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
It was, they were trying to make it the next Thriller. It was going to be the next music video event. And
is it not?
I mean, I guess it was the next Thriller. Like, it replayed all the time.
Like, yeah, when these videos came out.
It's
like,
true. They were events.
They weren't just MTV. They would air simultaneously on networks at the exact same time.
This was the big deal, that it was on MTV, VH1, BET, cable networks that always show it. But Fox was the first time that a network was going to air a Michael Jackson video, premiere it at the same time as every other channel.
Wow.
Yeah, and were you guys all here for this?
I watched it live.
I only with the internet was I ever able to see it.
Yeah,
again,
and
as I originally saw it, because I wasn't taping it.
And it aired with The Simpsons. As we already talked about in the season 3 premiere, Michael Jackson loved The Simpsons, Bart especially, wink. Of course, it was going to air right after The Simpsons, and that's something on this episode. The DVD version is different than the one I engraved in my memory from watching VHS, because I taped this episode the premiere night, and so they had to cut about like 2 minutes of stuff because the Michael Jackson was going to run long.
The video is like 11 minutes. Yes. He turns into a jaguar and has a fight.
But first, Dave and I just watched this. I had not seen this video in maybe 15 years, and it is really just a naive and goofy tour of different ethnicities in the Street Fighter 2 style. It's just like, let's find the most obvious stereotypes from each nation and visit
but
them.
But the morphing technology.
The morphing is great, but I think it's funny how it was a Street Fighter tour, but then there's a Street Fighter bonus level at the end in which Michael Jackson beats up a car.
So, yeah. Well, first off, so that before
still
the video...
I'm a virgin and I'm 33.
So on
is that an In Living Color?
It is an In Living Color original.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, everybody.
Well, so when it was about to premiere on Fox, Bart made sure to tell kids to not change the channel and watch what was going to happen.
Now the moment you've been waiting for. Ooh, don't touch that dial. He's bad. He's cool. He's dangerous. He's the king of pop music. My main man, Michael Jackson.
This is crazy. This
and
is
it's
so
just
lost
rock and roll
time.
Voice over the Bartman video.
Yeah.
Because briefly in the Bartman video, when he says, just like Michael Jackson, he has the curl drop down. And so they just rock and rolled the voice and just had him bounce back and forth and be like, yeah, watch Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson next. Like, and that sounds like shit because it only exists because somebody taped it.
On SLP mode 25 years ago. Yeah. I do have to wonder, though, in this video, I wonder how the black performer felt about them putting his rap into Macaulay Culkin's mouth. That felt felt kind of awkward to me.
I'm not going to spend my life being a color.
And though I also have a very vivid memory of this because so they play it. The second half of it is very controversial, yeah. Like because it's kind of just a Bob Fosse routine about how much he hates racism because it is silence. There's no music. Mm-hmm. It is just the sound of his dancing, like fever dancing, grabbing his crotch many, many times.
I remember even on MTV, like for like the first week, they might have shown that part. It was never shown again. After,
no.
Because it serves no purpose.
Well, it's more than just the crotch grab, though. He like lingers on his crotch. His hand doesn't leave it for seconds at a time. He's rubbing.
And he's feeling his chest at the same time. And then while after doing that, then he goes up to a car that has racist stuff written on it, like N-word, go home, except it doesn't say N-word. It says...
What does it say, Henry?
And there's also a window that says...
No good mix.
There's also a window that says KKK rules, and he smashes
this town.
They were notorious for that in New York back in the day.
And so
that tag was everywhere.
Him, but it made everybody uncomfortable, and I have a very clear memory of this. My brother had tonsillectomy that same day, and we went to go pick him up from the hospital, and... on the radio, I remember the Atlanta DJs were joking around about how many times he grabs his crotch in that video and saying that he obviously needs jock itch cream.
Ah! I bet there was a clown horn or a cowbell or something. Yeah. thank you. I do remember like parents.
Wow, Bob, man.
I am here, Chris.
Wow,
I do remember. I do remember parents' group saying like he touched his crotch 34 times in 2 minutes. Dear Lord,
I mean,
I've done it more in this recording.
But it's weird how sexualized and angry he made himself. It really wasn't the Michael Jackson you saw most of the time. I think it did confuse people.
I feel like he was trying to reinvent himself as a more masculine performer. Yeah. That in his lavender marriage, I guess you would call it, to Lisa Marie Presley. He was not a gay man, but he was not also a heterosexual man, I'm guessing.
I did listen to this album a lot, unironically, when it came out, and that there's a sketch before this song.
Yeah.
Turn it down, kid. Shut up, Dad. I'm trying to listen. And
that's the best part.
The video is George Wendt from Cheers and Macaulay Culkin. And then Bart Simpson starts dancing, and like I could never recreate that again.
And so because that outro, so whenever they replayed Black or White, when he would transform into the Panther and then walk away, it would always end right there when he morphs into the Panther. That deprived people of seeing the other Simpsons cameo in the video, because the video ends with Bart in this.
Bart, turn off that noise.
Chill out, homeboy.
And Homer turns off the TV.
The animation there is so fluid. Bart's wearing a Michael Jackson shirt and a very Beavis and Butthead style.
It looks like Butterfinger BB's animation or
it
whatever.
It is Butterfinger level animation for The Simpsons. And
that means something.
But yeah, they spent the money on having an outro. They're like, oh, then Bart is dancing to it. He's so excited. He's like, I love this music, but... That also is awkward that they had to cut back to the black or white guitar hook, because he wouldn't be doing that after watching Michael Jackson destroy all that stuff. He would just be uncomfortable of like, what did I just watch?
They should just cut to Bart smashing apart the living room with like a crowbar.
But anyway, so yeah, this episode will always be connected to black or white in my mind, even though the episode has nothing to do with Michael Jackson.
I do have to say this episode is written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, who we've talked about before. They wrote Dancing Homer. Topes Lose. And I feel this episode is a much softer episode. Like, I always think it's in season two when I think about it, because it's not as cutting, not as accelerated season three was getting.
Has anybody ever seen a Soapbox Derby?
No.
It is part of that how The Simpsons is a living anachronism. Like, Bart has the slingshot and stuff. It is very like, here's Americana, but in the 90s.
I remember when I was leaving my adolescence being disappointed that, no one ever brought up a Soapbox Derby.
The funny thing is,
once.
Apparently only three kids in Springfield ever soapbox race. That is Bart, Martin, and Nelson. I don't think I noticed that before. There were only three people in every race.
It's true, but it opens with the triumphant return of Phil Hartman. I can't believe they invented it.
Yeah.
And Troy McClure.
I'm actor Troy McClure. You might remember me from such TV series as Buck Henderson, Union Buster, and Troy and Company's Summertime Smile Factory. But I'm here to tell you about Spiffy, the 21st century stain remover. Let's meet the inventor. Dr. Nick Riviera.
Thank you, Troy. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Troy, I brought with me the gravestone of author and troubled soul Edgar Allan Poe.
One of our best writers.
That's there for the cheap seats, I think. Like, I'll tell you who he is. Again... But I do want to say Spiffy is not a funny product name, and that's because every joke name they pitched was a real product. So they just went with Spiffy. It's
the
a funny
foam
story.
Dome,
but I do love how Nick Riviera says Spiffy.
Yeah,
with what a combination of Spiffy.
Quoth the Raven, "What a shine!"
Ooh. That's one clean tombstone.
I love the way like Homer reaches for the phone and can't, is so excited he can't dial.
He needs his dialing wand.
He needs his dialing wand.
But that is my line of the show. Quoth the Raven, "What a shine!" And then,
I'll throw in the jingle just because I can't. This makes me laugh way too hard.
That's the joke.
Maybe because it's some of my favorite Simpsons jokes occur from a character off screen.
But Toy, how can I make it lower than $39.95?
Find a way.
I do like that. That's after the audience is threatening Nick with physical violence. And I should say that this is when infomercials were new. We saw parodies of them on everything.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first parodies of an infomercial
One of my favorite shows is Mr. Show, and a lot of people who missed the first season were introduced to it because HBO ran ad nauseum.
Fantastic Newness.
Fantastic Newness, infomercial parody. Yeah.
I loved when at the end David Cross put his head in a bag to say when it was airing, because when they were filming it they didn't know when it was filming. The Talking Mr. Show someday soon.
It's 32 episodes, it'll be great.
We'd be done already.
Homer is watching TV. It's a great intro, a very fast intro compared to the episodes before and after it.
Yeah,
because someone is using Homer's power tools.
Who's using the power tools?
I don't know, some guy, I guess.
Well, we're going to the beauty parlor. Maybe I should do something with the kids while I'm gone.
Oh, sure, great idea. I'd love to. Don't! Did you hear that?
Yes.
How much?
Everything.
What's the quickest, cheapest, easiest way to do something with you?
Take us to the video store?
Anything for my little girl.
God, this almost makes me want to be a father, an excuse to go to a video store.
That did give me warm fuzzies of just remembering, the trip to the video store. Yay! Yeah.
I don't
need friends and parties at 17. I just want to go to the video store with my parents.
The video store was the 90s parenting solution where it's like, we'll go to the video store Friday, we'll run our own things, and we won't talk to each other, and that's how we'll get along.
We'll pick up pizza on the way home.
We'll make fucking pop quiz popcorn. What will pop up next? The popcorn's going to be awesome. Orange! It's gonna be great! But this is a could have been line of the show.
Sparks! You can't weld with such a little flame! Stupid kid.
I was reading that some of the controversy with the censors on this episode involved Bart welding.
Yeah, they said that they didn't like it. It was an imitatable act, they said, and their defense was, no kids got access to a welding
thing. And then, as a kid in shop class, I was taught how to use a welder. I don't fucking remember how to do that shit at all. It was an argument over whether Bart should have his face mask up or down, which he had it up.
Yeah.
Which is, in hindsight, a joke that I don't even know if you can get on network television at all now.
Like, it's damaging Bart's eyes. He should technically have, giant floaters in his eyes forever now.
Though later they would do a joke about, the same tool, except Homer would be smoking a cigar while using it, and I feel like that's the more objectionable part now. They could not show Homer smoking a cigar.
And the whole video sequence is only there to just give us a wonderful McBain reference.
Yeah.
Hey, McBain, you keep eating them hot links, you're never going to make it to a pension.
Come on, live a little, Scoy.
No, thank you. Got me a future, partner. I'm 2 days away from retirement. My daughter's graduating from college.
Little Susie's growing up.
And as soon as we nail Mendoza, my old lady and I are going to sail around the world like we always wanted. We just christened a book.
To live forever.
Yeah.
This is still a joke I see in things. I got 1 day to retirement. A Lethal Weapon joke.
But it's also a Clint Eastwood or Dirty Harry joke. His partners always die.
Sudden Impact it's based on for the most part. Yeah. And Lethal Weapon 2.
But it's a cliche in everything.
Well. Yeah.
Or Lethal Weapon 2, Diplomatic Immunity.
Lethal Weapon, T-O-O.
I mean, the character seems more like the Donald Glover character. Like, too old for the shit type
Donald
dude. Danny Glover character. Go.
I got to work with a guy for 6 years named Mendoza.
Oh, I did for 9 months and I never did it, and I was biting my tongue.
I never did it either.
I'm not gonna make it.
Oh, stop talking crazy.
No. Just do one thing for me. Get Mendoza.
Mendoza!
God, Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer.
When he gave a shit, it's I'm a broken record about Harry Shearer, but just hearing him, it's just amazing. So much energy.
His performance in these small parts, and we were just talking, I don't know if we've mentioned on the show a billion times, I'm pretty sure we have, that like the current showrunners don't like to use Burns, because Shearer isn't dependable enough.
Sounds like this. I mean, and he literally phones it in.
Yeah.
He does it over the phone.
Burns sounds way too old. That's my only criticism. Well, one of my
Skinner
few criticisms.
Too, but, but anyway, yeah, I think that's my favorite ever McBain scene.
It looks beautiful.
Because
well.
that line that you missed, because like, there's a guy bleeding on the floor from 18 bullet shot wounds. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to make it. Stop talking crazy.
I love that, yeah. And then we eventually see McBain go to Mendoza's party, Crash's party.
Revenge, but as a former Blockbuster employee, which I feel that was specifically what they were referencing in this, employees could never put on a film that violent.
Yeah.
They would not be allowed.
I worked at Suncoast, so we were never allowed to put anything rated R. In fact, I had to let the manager borrow money, and his piece with me he made is like, you want to put on a Mystery Science Theater episode? Like, which I had begged to do for literally years, and was not considered appropriate enough, this Midwestern Cowtown puppet show with movies from the 50s.
Basic cable show from the 90s. Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned MST3K, because as a fan, I liked hearing on this commentary, Mike Reese really loved that they did a Mendoza reference on MST3K.
Really?
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
He was very proud of that.
This is where the whole episode kicks in. Your memories will tell you it's the Soapbox Racer episode, but it's more the Homer trying to be a better father episode. Mm-hmm. That's the A story.
One of many.
Homer, could you turn off the TV? There's a little test I want you to take.
Oh, great. You made me miss Joe Theismann.
This is from the National Fatherhood Institute. It evaluates your knowledge of your son and rates you as a father.
Oh, Marge.
Question one. Name one of your child's friends.
Let's see, Bart's friends. There's the fat kid with a thing. Mm. The little wiener who's always got his hands in his pocket.
They want a name, Homer, not a vague description.
Okay. Hank?
Hank? Hank who?
Hank Jones.
Homer, you made that up. Question two. Who was your son's hero?
Steve McQueen.
That's your hero. Name another dad you talked to about parenting.
Next.
What are your son's hobbies?
Well, he's always chewing on that phone cord.
Yeah. He hasn't done that since he was two.
Then he has no hobbies.
Oh, really? Well, maybe you should go out to the garage and see.
Then he has no hobbies.
This is indulgent of me.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
fine.
That
what are we doing, Chris? We're talking about The Simpsons.
He's in the video store, and what section of the video store does Homer gravitate
sports
to?
Sports.
So, like, that was a huge thing around this time.
It was,
Like, even on kid shows, and I remember begging my father for a Sports Illustrated subscription, because it was the only way you could see. Let me see if they say the title of it, because I've never forgot it. If you ask me what's your favorite sports blooper video, I would say this.
Here it comes, the slamming, jamming, rip-roaring good time video. The NBA's dazzling dunks and basketball bloopers. It's all new, fun, and excitement. And the only way to get it is free with your paid subscription to Sports Illustrated.
These were two-minute commercials that aired all the time.
I still never got my football phone.
The football phone was... This is an escalation to the football phone.
Okay.
But before that, they were 45-minute, hour-long VHSs of, like, sports highlights. And then they just moved over to blooper angles. And, like, those commercials... I think people begged for those commercials to be run during breaks.
Before,
like, just run full two-minute spot for the sports bloopers. No one will change the channel.
Bored.
Before
the
YouTube
90s.
Existed, you needed videos just of bloopers. Like, that's why you don't see... On our other show, 302010, I constantly skip over, like, oh, another episode of TV's Bloopers and Practical Jokes, because the audience doesn't exist for that anymore. They just go to YouTube to watch or the outtakes reel from a DVD.
But you don't get those Sergio Aragonés cartoons that, like, come and then, like,
I've
clean the screen up.
Very few prescient things on these podcasts, but one of the things I said recently on another podcast was that, like, what happened to DVD special features, and, like, that's what we do now.
Yeah,
like,
that's
we
true.
Don't need to wait for DVDs to put, so they don't bother putting production behind interviewing those people, because they know people like us will break down an episode and maybe contact that person. We'll make those speeches, and we'll make them unofficially and free, and they'll be better anyway. Yeah. But on every Marvel film, what's the one feature they still have on Blu-ray? Gag reel.
Oh, right.
Every time, gag reel. They have a gag reel, because it's the one thing they officially have that no one else can do.
Yeah. Mm. But also, do you nerds know the Joe Theismann story? Yeah. Like the
I know it because they referenced it on King of the Hill a few times.
Yes, that he
Theismann's birdie leg.
Yeah, he was one of the most popular football players of the 80s, and live on Monday Night Football, he got sacked the wrong way, and Lawrence Taylor broke his leg. Like, landed, his knee landed on his leg the wrong way, and it is one of the most gruesome things the world, like America, was exposed to live on television. And it made Lawrence Taylor like an infamous star. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really got people pissed then was because he was freaked out, and he was calling for help, like, he's really hurt, get help right here. But without sound and from a distance, viewers thought he was like, I fucking broke his leg. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And
so I know that.
He became one of the most hated men in football. Oh. Like, that's why LT is one of the NFL players who's actually well, that's why Lawrence Taylor is one of the few football players in the Any Given Sunday, because he's not friends. He's the dirty guy anyway. NFL doesn't like him. So,
and this is one of my favorite lines ever. Homer going outside to discover Bart does, in fact, have a hobby, and he's a failure as a father.
Bart! Bart!
What?
You don't have any hobbies, do you, boy?
No, not really.
Well, that's what I... Wait a minute, what are you doing?
Building a soapbox derby racer.
That's a hobby.
Hey, so it is.
Oh, my God. I don't know jack about my boy. I'm a bad father.
You're also fat.
I'm also fat.
There's a lot of Patty and Selma in these ones we're doing, and it's great.
I love that.
Their brand new Mary Tyler Moore haircut. Yes.
So let's talk about that real quick. First off, when they talk about the Henry Winkler quote, I always think of that every time. I've heard many interviews people say, like, Henry Winkler is the greatest guy, the sweetest man in the world. We all love him. I always think back to that quote of, like, oh, yeah, he does sound like a cool guy. I mean, in that quote about he's always had happy days with his kids. But then secondly, so the Mary Tyler Moore stuff, Ken Levine and the other writer, David Isaacs, they reveal in the commentary they worked for on a TV show with Mary Tyler Moore. And they did not like that.
They said that the people who went to Vietnam were the lucky ones. Yeah. terms of working with her. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your...
No. And so later in the episode where Barney gets maced by her and says, are you Mary Tyler Moore? Gets maced.
Excuse me?
My friend and I have a bet. Are you Mary Tyler Moore? Wow, it really is you.
That means, that's them saying she is a total asshole who would mace you in the face.
Dude, I had that for later because I love when Barney gets maced and burps. I think it's happened more than once.
Yeah, happened in the War of the Simpsons. Yeah. Was it Patty or Selma? Was it same sister? I don't know.
I think it was the same one. Yeah.
But it's like,
one
that joke doesn't work unless Mary Tyler Moore sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I don't know either. I do know that she has had alcohol issues, alcohol addiction. I believe she is openly...
I know she was gorgeous into the 90s. I love Flirting with Disaster.
I think she's... That could be part of the reason. I don't know. Look, reportedly, she's a jerk at the end.
Yeah. These two guys hated her. They got the ultimate burn.
Yep.
The show people will still be watching in 30 years.
The Simpsons will be right back.
You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. You want to go through games journalism days of yore. Heidi, she's like, but I found all these other jump drives from you, and these are all from, like, our era in the games press that I've been slowly throwing out. 512 megabytes. We've made bigger podcasts. I wonder what... I'm going to stick it in and see what's on it. In a preview for Jumper Griffin story.
What the fuck?
Can you read a sentence from that?
Taking in a viewing of the Banff Happy Jumper trailer, you might be bracing yourself for seeing another game movie tie-in starring Hayden Christensen and Samuel L. Jackson. Hey, that's not a bad line. They've been in a lot of movie tie-in games together. But you'd be wrong, young Padawan. Central in the film, though they are, Jumper's Griffin story allows Jamie Bell's character, the immensely irritating Jimmy from King Kong, That was a reference I thought everyone would get. unfolding a different plot that intersects the events of the film because it was an interquel or something.
That is way too good for a Jumper Griffin story preview.
Thanks, Dave. No one's paying
me. Get bonus time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again. But Homer has to call the Bad Father hotline.
This is
National Fatherhood Institute.
Dave speaking.
I'm Homer Simpson. I just took your test.
I got a zero.
Good Lord, a zero! Lana Castle, my 1 o'clock. Mr. Simpson, we'll send a wood panel station wagon over for you immediately.
It's such a cute joke.
That is beautiful, yeah. And it really does show up in just the reaction of like them taking Homer away like, bye, son. No, they're finally taking your dad away. Maybe it's for the best.
And Harry Shearer is doing an impression of Mason Adams. I thought it was a Casey Kasem impression, but it actually is Mason Adams.
I cannot place his voice.
Coming in number one.
And then comes in another of the many, like, distracting now references to Bill Cosby.
Just, all right.
For starters, Mr. Simpson, why don't you take this complimentary copy of Fatherhood by Bill Cosby?
Ooh, if he's as smart as he is funny, I'm sold.
But the, I mean, the joke is this is a schmaltzy book full of awful platitudes, awful feel-good platitudes. That's not even written by Bill Cosby, by the way. It's ghostwritten by Ralph Schoenstein, who works for All Things Considered, if you're wondering the quality of the humor. I'm sorry. I hate All Things Considered.
As I say, if you're saying that to my mom, she'd say, oh, so it's hilarious.
It's not as bad as Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. But
it's her favorite show. My
it's,
mom
it's made for 60-year-old people, though.
Let's
me.
Remember, Cosby's lovemaking predilections are not in question here, guys. It's his ability as a father.
But this is when they were up
which
against
which is above
Cosby.
Reproach.
They were playing against Cosby at the same time, so that's why they're making fun of Cosby.
It is. And this joke is awesome, and like if you know that like are they still on Thursdays at this point?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Simpsons have been moved to Thursdays by Fox to compete with Cosby, the number one comedy.
They would end this season, though.
But still, like, it was a point of contention with the show. Like, why did you move us away from our successful time slot to basically either win or, more likely, eclipse ourselves up against the number one comedy?
Cosby's first law of intergenerational perversity. No matter what you tell your child to do, it will always do the opposite. Huh? Don't you get it? You gotta use reverse psychology. That sounds too complicated. Okay, don't use reverse psychology. All right, I will. Son, I don't think you should let me help you.
Oh, come on, Dad. If you really want to help, you can clean these paintbrushes.
Thank you, Bill Cosby. You saved the Simpsons.
Just rubbing it in.
Love
just
that
rubbing
line.
It in. Yeah. And all of the quotes from Fatherhood are actually from the book. These aren't jokes.
Like, wow. Because I think the only book cover that they depict that I remember that book being on shelves.
It's later thrown into a fire on the show.
It was in the lottery episode.
Oh, that's right.
But the line just that it is from the book intergenerational perversity like just really sounds bad in the year of our Lord 2016.
What a grumpy
it
fuck!
Does.
This episode has two callbacks to Itchy and Scratchy and Marge. Mm. One, that they got the idea for the Soapbox Derby Racer because that's one of the things Bart said he was doing when he wasn't watching Itchy and Scratchy anymore. And two, when Homer says, I'm good at building lots of things, he goes back to the spice rack. Like, the spice rack's the first thing you see. It was another interesting level of continuity that they were interested in back then, but just lightly touching on. And then they have a cute little montage of them building the thing together, which this episode
that's
has so much.
I know that song. I never heard that song.
I think it's called
ever.
Watching Scotty Grow.
Yes, that's the end of the song.
And that's so weird that I know that 70s song. It's such schmaltzy horseshit.
Well, it shows you like dudes who grew up in the 70s wrote this episode.
We have never seen a song like that, though. That's what occurred since Will Smith's Just the Two of Us, which he makes about his son.
Which is a remake of...
It's a remake of a song that I do not believe is about his son.
No.
But you should convert all love stories to your child
it's not
and
creepy.
Expect no one to think anything.
I thought Dr. Evil sang
that
song,
Chris. I got this clip just because this blew my mind as a little kid.
You know, Marge, that part of ours is a little miracle. His winning smile, his button nose, his fat little stomach, his face alight with wholesome mischief. He reminds me of me before the weight of the world crushed my spirit.
I love the line, and just like, I remember, like, as I was trying to, I wanted to be an animator, so I'm trying to draw Bart all the time. I'm like, why is Bart fat or not? Mm. Like, he has the same body type as every boy on The Simpsons,
like the
for
pair,
the most part.
The Universal Simpsons pear
shape.
Yeah,
yeah, and
of
like,
men.
I'd never heard this, like, Homer acknowledged his own son as fat in the same episode, near an episode, like, he's not that fat.
His karate lessons episode pointed out he has got a giant stomach. Bart does. It's like jiggling while he's watching TV.
I may have said this already now that I think of it.
Now as an adult, the weight of the world crushed my spirits that...
It happened on mic live.
Yeah.
We heard the spirits crush out of him.
It was crushing my spirit right now.
It was very oxygen in the room.
So about that line, it does feel like Jim Brooks was airlifted in to write that one sentence. It feels very Jim Brooksy, but at the same time, it's true. Like, it's not like I'm watching children, by the way. This is going to sound weird, but when I see kids having fun, I'm like, I wish I could have that much fun again.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I just have too much anxiety, too much adult shit happening in my brain that it's like, I can't let myself be that free.
Yeah, no, I was just feeling that. I went to my first Giants baseball game in a few years, and seeing the kids there just enjoy it without any, you know, without any blocking on it or anything. They're just like, I'm just excited. Baseball is fun. Yeah.
My body doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah. And, but also, it reminded me, I saw an Onion article, an Onion headline recently. Boy loses balloon, begins lifelong struggle with depression. Like,
that taught me about loss. It really did, losing my first balloon.
At the end of the montage of them building the thing, too, I did love that they just leave Maggie in the garage. They're like, all right, let's do it. And they just abandon a baby in
that.
The garage. It's because they took one of the wheels off her stroller for a little lightning, mm-hmm. and she's just sat there when they leave. And
I think you mean the loser mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're not supposed to smoke in the pit area.
Fine. Hey, Simpson, where's your loser mobile?
Loser mobile. Wait a minute.
It's over there, Nelson.
Whoa, talk about your pieces of crap.
Hmm. You know, Bart, I don't care who wins as long as one of us beats that guy.
Same here.
That whole bit was great. I think they have to reintroduce Nelson as a bully because he's not a regular on the show.
Yeah.
And him putting out the cigarette on his tongue is a perfect, like, there, in 5 seconds, this kid is awful.
He's smoking a lot.
That's a great joke. I do feel like this dynamic is kind of like an older Simpsons dynamic, which is like teaming up against Nelson. Nelson would very much fall into the kind of like reluctant hangout friend, you know, that kind of comes along on adventures, and I kind of like him more like that, where it's he's like the violent solution to the problem.
You absolutely need a fourth.
Yeah, I mean, in the Shelbyville adventure, that's what I loved about him, like him with Martin, and just like begrudgingly, yes, we are friends here. Martin sounded weird when he said, like, to those who doubt the space, like, it sounded too Minnie Mouse. Like, Martin has the same voice as Minnie Mouse, and that one sounded way too mousy for him. Like,
wow.
Roosie Taylor.
Yeah, Roosie Taylor. Also, all the duck kids, the duck nephews.
But you know that really... talk about your pieces of crap.
Yeah.
It wasn't even clever, just blunt. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's a great. And then when they actually do the race, he literally has a whip. Like, I love that.
My lady and I just watched. We've been obsessed with older movies and watch Ben-Hur in its entirety. And I don't know, that scene is actually like really great in
and
the film.
A lot of horses died to make that scene, so it was worth it.
And like the guy Charlton Heston is fighting, like, yeah, he gets thrown out and run over and murdered violently in like a way I like, really, a 1950s film depicted this? Like, it was a really cool sequence.
Chris, do you have a clip of Martin swearing and crashing at all?
No,
okay.
I don't.
I have to bring something up. Before there were websites, there were magazines, right?
Yes.
And I was subscribing to Simpsons Illustrated at this time. Yeah. And before there were comment sections, there were letter sections. And there was a massive discussion in one episode of Simpsons Illustrated about Martin swearing in this episode. Whether it was right to have him swear, because some people were like, I don't think the voice of Gonzo should be swearing. I don't think kids should be hearing this. So it was like a huge discussion in the letter section about this quote, which is, deploy, damn you, deploy! When he's trying to deploy the parachute when he's crashing. So
yeah, it was totally innocuous to me.
This is the, like, only Bob kids will remember this kind of thing, but I think it should be stated that this is controversial in the Simpsons Illustrated community, this one line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, there were occasionally, I guess by this point I was used to, Bart swears, Nelson swears, Martin is a goody-goody, but he would,
But they're saying, because it's a Disney character's voice.
Yeah.
So you're saying you know that. So what you're saying is that you know this character isn't real. So what you're saying
I didn't
is
follow the logic.
You have a cognitive dissonance and you can, the capacity for abstract thought, and you don't really need to care about this? I hate people
the
sometimes
arguments were
so
weird
much.
And they were weird 25 years ago.
So what you're really saying is like, hey guys, I noticed something. And I'm going to frame it in the form of a controversy.
Should Gonzo be swearing? Yes.
So Martin...
Yes, of course he should be. Well, fuck Kermit. I'm going to go fuck a chicken in like 9 seconds.
Well, then, so Martin...
Well, watch out, Dave Goals.
Martin crashed and was on fire, but he just had a stress fracture on his arm. Like, that's pretty good for being set on fire and crashing at 100 miles an hour into a wall.
But I love the Martin performance here, especially him in the hospital.
Yeah.
Hey, man, cool crash. Way to cheat death.
Thanks, Bart.
You had the best stick out there, man. I wish I could build him like you.
That racer transformed me into the twisted creature you see before you. I'll never race again.
If you don't race, then Nelson will win.
Well, even if I wanted to, I'm in no shape to do it. Unless... Bart, will you drive my car?
Oh, I don't know if I should do that. My dad and I built our car together, and if I drove someone else's, it'd kill him. On the other hand, I'll do it.
I kind of like this Martin a little more. They would focus on making him girlier, and that was a joke. Yeah. But in these early episodes, he's a nerd who is consumed by his passion. He's fixated on what he wants to do. Yeah. We saw that in when he was transforming Bart into a nerd in that one episode. Bart gets an F? Or Bart?
Yeah, Bart gets an F. Yeah. But I think they maybe went a little too easy with the he's effeminate joke. But then again, by that point, they had Database to be like, well, Database is the real obsessive nerd. So Martin kind of has to be.
Irredeemable nerd.
Yes. Yeah. So Martin has to be slightly gay as instead. A nerd, but who also plays the lute.
And is the queen of summer. King of summer.
I think in a way I'm both, as a kid I was both Martin and Database. Like, it depended on the
day.
I
didn't want to bring it up.
I was Milhouse.
I didn't want to bring it up. But Homer gets sad because Bart abandoned
the acting is so great in this scene.
You've got a lot of work to do in the car, so I'm going to pull you out of school for the next couple of weeks.
Dad, I don't know how to say this, but I don't want to drive your car. It's slow, it's ugly, it handles like a shopping cart.
Bart, the car has a few bugs in it, I admit that, but we're Team Simpson.
Dad, I love you, but you taught me to win.
Why did I ever teach you that?
Well, I picked it up somewhere. And if I drive Martin's car, I can win. I'm sorry,
No, go ahead, leave me.
Dad.
No, go on and win. No, go on and win without your dad. I'll just sit here in a little lightning, which the Simpsons built. And remember that for one brief shining moment, I had a son.
For doing this shit to my dad.
And then it all breaks.
Homer needs to remember Dead Putting Society. It is not okay to lose.
It is not okay to
lose. So he did it.
I don't know if that joke was a direct reference to that.
But I just loved the animation where he's like, no. Like, that felt like a season 7 level animation to me. Like, it was just, there were little, like, hand ticks and movements to it that were so specific for Homer there.
I don't know if this was a Dead Putting Society reference, but like in that episode, him helping Bart and being engaged with Bart's life makes Bart's life worse. Yeah. It makes the car worse. It makes him lose. It makes him, it puts him in danger more than he was before.
Yeah. And this is a scene, I think, that was cut from, syndication for me. Because it's so brief. But when
him with Lisa?
Yeah, with Homer gets a chance to confront Martin for, and just refers to him as a
Dr. Hibbert, Lisa needs a... You! Homewrecker!
Mr. Simpson, you have every right to be angry, but rest assured, your son loves you.
Ah! Well, you certainly gave that boy the heebie-jeebies.
Did they love that character? That's not a joke.
No,
at all.
He's terrified.
And that's the end of the scene.
The joke is that it's being treated as if, Bart is cheating on Homer with Martin.
No, the Hibbert joke.
Oh, okay.
Well, the Hibbert just like...
that boy the heebie-jeebies. I'm like...
I guess Homer's reaction...
You're the Simpsons. Every joke takes like 9 months to happen, and that's what we left with?
I think the joke is Hibbert's not taking it seriously. A man just comes into his office and screams at a child who runs away, and he's like, that's hilarious.
This one's a real bummer for me because I'm confronting the idea of like inevitably being a father juxtaposed with who I am and how I react to everything else, which is to sometimes give up, get sad, and recoil. And like, I never had sympathy and for this much sympathy for Homer until right now, but this is how I react to things.
I've always said you were a good father. I've always defended you when people put you down. That's for sure. She ain't lying. But I guess I was wrong. You are a bad father.
Ooh, that hurts.
Leave me alone.
Man, just just turn away. He just turns away from Marge. Like, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, you got your, we've got your foam dome.
We got your hat out of the fridge.
Yeah. That was it. That was such a great
That's
line.
A great line.
Thank God Homer retakes the fatherhood test. I love this clip. It is long.
Name your son's hobbies. Building a soapbox racer. Name one of your child's friends. Martin. Martin! I'll curse that name till the day I die! Who is your son's hero? 3-time soapbox derby champion Ronnie Beck! Whoa! I'm one question away from being a perfect father! Name another dad you talk to about parenting. Oh, Flanders! 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 When should a boy start dating?
Well, sir, there are two schools of thought on the subject.
Great, thanks!
You've not seen Flanders in a while. I like how he showed up here for a second.
Yeah, the way it was framed with the window, you're like,
it's
Flanders
so good.
Showing up.
Yeah,
at some
point. That clip is truncated. So, again, we encourage you guys to always watch these episodes before,
please,
afterwards,
do.
Any fucking time. They're great.
You know, you talk about the Dead Putting Society connection. The whole setting up of the race and the same announcer,
it is connected to
Dead Putting
Society.
Is
in the show.
So those announcers were at the golf game. One thing before, after that, and then this. What was that second thing? I forget. Was it wrestling? It was wrestling, right?
He was the announcer for wrestling in the Truckosaurus episode. But I think it was a very intentional callback. So all this mini golf stuff, maybe it does connect to how Homer and they were referencing the stuff from that
it's
one.
A similar story.
I also like that
that
Springfield as a whole, it implies it treats everything children do as seriously as the Olympic Games.
Even though only 3 children are partaking in this sport.
Every single time.
And then Quimby is a womanizer again.
Is that our first Quimby is a womanizer joke?
It might be.
Look at the rack. Is that good? Yeah.
It might be. I mean,
is Quimby a womanizer or is he just a Kennedy?
He's, I mean,
a default Kennedy.
It's a Kennedy-esque womanizer.
It's a Kennedy trait, I would say. Yes. They're.
And so I love the animation of the shot of Homer in the stands.
So like, good. Saying, I captured a ton of them just for the fuck of it.
When he's like, do it for your old man. Is that the
story? Yeah, do it for your old man, boy. And that is a reference to The Natural, though we'd get a whole more references to The Natural later in the season.
They love parodying that movie.
But it's also
never seen it.
It's music they can use because Fox owns it.
That's
so
right.
They
really?
Reference it all the time. Yep.
That's why they use the Batman theme a lot, right?
Yep, same deal. They don't own the Spider-Man theme, so when they did Spider-Pig, they had to pay that guy.
Love this clip from being on Team Prince.
Bart, if she breaks up on you, steer away from the grandstands or else you might kill hundreds of innocent spectators. Bart, what did I just tell you? Kill spectators. What is the matter with you? It's my dad, lying there on the couch, drinking a beer, staring at the TV. I've never seen him like that.
Don't get up about your father! You're driving for me now!
Ooh.
Slaps him twice.
Those are hard slaps, too.
Bart is not reacting to it much. And then he also has to backhand him because one arm's in a sling.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good just, animation.
I know. Hey, Chris here, no slaps. Mm. Too bassy. Means it hurt.
Mm. I like
you
the
feel that like a bone.
I like the animation of their race. Like I think it was done. You can do feel the kind of speed, and I like how I really like the detail of Nelson chewing on the bits of the car flying.
Yeah,
into
like
his
the shrapnel.
That was awesome. In the speedometer peeling off, like all those sequences are just beautiful. They're not like great Simpsons jokes. Mm. It's just awesome animation. Like everything a cartoon should be. And again, my only complaint about modern Simpsons is that it doesn't act like a cartoon ever at all. It's just like it's a stage sitcom.
With how it's portrayed, like in terms of camera angles and animation. Mm. Yeah.
As a kid, I remember really chuckling at the reveal of Ronnie Beck being somebody seemingly younger than Bart.
That was great. I thought that was so great because I call that like a lost Simpsons joke because it's too subtle. Because the way Ronnie Beck is smaller and younger than Bart and still his hero, yet refers back to his glory days having seemingly retired as if this was eons ago.
It is funny how Ronnie Beck was giving kids advice to steal from construction sites to build their racers.
I never thought about that. It seems much weirder that like 7-year-old is telling people
Did
to steal
anybody
stuff.
Else steal from construction sites to make things to ride on? I made scooters out of
I stole PVC pipe once just to like pretend they were lightsabers and hit each other with it.
We were the third house in our neighborhood, so
everything was built in my neck of the woods.
I destroyed so many construction sites all the time.
And then I do love the line, as a kid I didn't get it, but the line of the driver is essentially ballast. It's a good point that just like they go down a hill in a straight line
with no turns.
A human human just needs to be in it. Like, it doesn't.
I think I don't know the definition of the word ballast.
It's a science term of just meaning that it can exist or not. Like, it has no bearing on the outcome of an experiment. That's basically what ballast means. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure you will. But
and,
Bart
it's about ethics in Simpsons journalism.
Bart and Homer are not graceful winners in this episode.
Oh, I love this
yeah.
one.
Thanks, Nelson. Put her there. Loser!
Nyah, 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 nyah.
Bart, you know there is such a thing as being a bad winner.
Mom, I never won before. I may never win again. Nyah, 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 nyah.
That's my boy. Nyah, 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 nyah.
Nyah, 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 nyah.
I love the last shot where the yeah. Fatherhood Institute is looking on like NASA at Mission Control. They have like video of the Simpsons,
yes, it's so
and they're
good.
Hugging each other and like confetti's falling down. It's just like, oh, it's a beautiful way to end the
and
episode.
Yet another licensed song.
Yeah, I know.
In an episode with like four licensed songs.
I think it's
songs.
Like four. So,
four
yeah.
or five.
This one is a cover though.
Oh, it is?
It's a cover, but still they got paid.
Midler?
Watching Scotty Grow was the real one. This is actually just a cover. Mm. Yeah.
Well, and Cats in the Cradle. That was the original
yeah,
too.
That was original,
the
yeah.
phone
You're
thing.
Right.
Yeah, so much music in this. That's why I think in a couple episodes, Bart's going to sing the Teddy Bear Picnic song, which is very public domain.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's because after this episode, like, we did too many of these. We got no budget.
We bought
left
a Beatles
for it.
Song two episodes ago.
Yeah,
help us.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did say this episode was softer, but I think it's more that it taps into an older dynamics the show is kind of shedding right now.
Yeah.
It's not as fast. It's kind of moving a lot slower.
It's still very family based. No Burns at all in
yeah.
it. And, you can see they're watching TV a lot. That was also something Gene and Reese says was indicative of their run on the show of characters just watching TV. It was just like
or opening easy. With a parody, yeah, like,
yeah, opening with a parody, opening with Homer watching TV, and like, why have a scene between characters when you can just have a television sketch?
I know I was instantly laughing every time they
exactly.
did that.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm glad they had that instead of like
stuff.
Starting with Homer. I didn't mention it at the start, but I loved
one more time.
But okay. Troy, how can I make it lower than $39.95?
Find a way.
Find a way.
Find a way. Yeah,
that.
And I did love the little detail when Homer drops the sugar cubes, the terrible
it's
sugar
great.
Cubes in
yeah.
his drink. He stirs it with the thing he grabbed the sugar cubes with. Like, that was a little...
Oh, I thought you meant that the sugar cubes were shitty.
Well,
because
also that
all
they
those
look
products,
like shit, yeah.
Every
Mr.
product...
Sugar Cube.
I had a girlfriend who would order every, like, kitchen product that was advertised on television. It works once.
Mm-hmm.
It's unwashable, unfixable, and like, never works again. Like, so, like, the shitty sugar cubes are... perfectly emblematic.
God. I remember watching many, many times an infomercial for a food dehydrator, and I was like, this is the coolest thing. Why don't my parents buy one of these? I think I watched that infomercial maybe 20 times. I mean, there was nothing happening in the early 90s, people. I can't stress that enough.
I remember one of my favorites was a vacuum packing your food thing of like, yes, food all goes bad, but with this vacuum sealer, it seals it all in.
I remember being wildly irritated on Nickelodeon for like a year. It seemed like they only had one sponsor, and that was Solaflex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I'm a child. I need to work out.
Yeah, well, yeah. Seriously, for low payments of $99 of every month, like that is way bigger than my allowance in 1991.
I need to blast my quads during my A to B.
And then one time on a Sunday afternoon, it's like it's another Solaflex commercial, and then like it didn't stop. It keeps going. it should be over by now. I'm positive it should be over by now. This has been like 10 minutes. And I didn't know what it was. That was my introduction to the infomercial. That
yeah.
Nickelodeon, in the middle of the day, just played a Solaflex infomercial in the midst of all this other Solaflex shit.
Now I think TV is just infomercials. Or not really, but like, watch TV on a Saturday on a network, like, you're just seeing an infomercial or boring sports.
Now, I've been pointing this out other places, and there are people who've done it a lot better than me, but I love pointing out that Cinnabon. You've never, ever in your life seen an advertisement for Cinnabon.
I was going
to
mention this.
Go on YouTube and search Cinnabon ads. Cinnabon has inserted itself into everything you've ever seen as an ad, but it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus recommending it, or Adam Sandler, or Jerry Seinfeld as a fucking bee, or Bob Odenkirk as Saul, like, making them. Like, they've never had a commercial. They're advertised all the time.
I was
going
to say, I thought infomercials just evolved into Adam Sandler movies.
It's Popeye's chicken. It's fat and
Dick Sporting Good
such a sweet.
I just, you spit everywhere when you do that impression. I'm sorry.
Got a ShamWow on the table.
That's
it's
okay.
Be good.
I want Adam Sandler impressions to become the new Bill Cosby impression because he has not done anything offensive yet outside of making five horrible movies, six, seven, maybe.
Yeah. Beyond his bad movies and hiring his friends all the time, like, in a way, that's good. Like, hey, he keeps giving his friends money.
I know, I'm jealous.
But his personal hygiene is above reproach. And we'll end on that, everybody. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Bob Mack. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo. I also host the classic gaming podcast, Retronauts. All these guys have been on it. I think it's pretty good. You can find that at Retronauts.com or go to usgamer.net, or you can look up Retronauts in your podcast machine. Everybody else, what do you do?
Please listen to more Laser Time and Laser Time-related podcasts. We have a show that's just all about one single pop culture topic every single week, every Monday, and on lasertimepodcast.com you can find out even more. We do a ton of articles, of videos. I did something that most people do not give a shit about, but it was one of the most fun videos I made. Eight stupid things Superman does in video games. If you're a decent, if you're even a light comic book nerd, watching Superman die and climb ladders throughout the first 20 years of his video game history is always hilarious.
I like watching him use mass transit personally.
Yes, that was great. And if, riding the subway.
And if you liked our look back at history, there's 30-20-10, our weekly podcast where we talk about what happened in one given week 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. And there's also the comic book podcast I do, Cape Crisis. But most importantly, this is a Patreon-supported podcast. Go to patreon.com/lasertime, and you can help support us and get access to the first season of this Talking Simpsons, as well as the Talking Simpsons Season 2 special. I hope to do more specials in the future, but we have a ton of other great content on there. Little as $5 a month really helps us out, and you know, it's our full-time job, so please help if you can.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with Flaming Moe's. It's a great one. See you then.
Infotainment.